Hey nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top-secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Ken Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to another edition of Geek Cave Podcast Gaming. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Chad.
And, of course, we want to thank our sponsors, Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from the past so you can look rad today, with free shipping on all orders within the U.S., plus great t-shirt, sweater, and hoodie designs on everything geek chic. Find something for you at Shirtosaurus.com. And Gamefly, video games delivered, your destination for new and used video games. Browse the collection of thousands of games for you to keep as long as you want without worrying about those pesky late fees. Then, when you're done, just send it back in a postage-paid envelope for a new one, or pay a lot less than you can pay in-store and keep it free. You're paying for it forever. Sign up for a free 30-day trial right now using the link at geekcavepodcast.com.
You heard it here. You get to keep it for free.
Please don't. Anyway, how's everybody doing?
Oh, not too bad.
Yeah.
That's...
Well, I played a couple of things, but before I get into that, Justin, you been spending any time on Reddit lately?
Well, yes, Darren. Thank you for asking. As many of you know, I have a breadth of knowledge that I think is very useful to the gamer. I don't get to play a lot, but I have a wide range of information, and so I go through Reddit's Ask Games to find questions that I think need answered in a segment I like to call
Ask Justin. The Geek Cave podcast and its associates, including Justin, do not condone the advice given in this segment.
So this month's question is, has there ever been a game that has so many things on it that it's almost impossible for human beings to play? Yes, it's called Life. Life is so full of crap, you'll never be able to get to 100%, and the controls are so wonky. Some days you can't even get your person out of bed. And trying to interact with the NPCs? Absolute hell! The morality system is all jacked up. You think you're doing good, but some people get pissed off, while others don't think you've gone far enough. You never feel like you're getting anywhere, and it's almost like it's designed to make you fail. Also, Battletoads.
Oh, thank you, Justin. That was pretty succinct, actually. Speaking of wonky controls, how are you coming on Skyrim?
Oh, I finally got a copy of Luigi's Mansion 3, so I ain't touched that shit. Guigi is the best! Love Guigi.
It is a good game.
Yeah.
It is a good game.
So, I don't know. Ask me in a few more months.
Okay. All right. Before we get to all my stuff, Chad, have you been playing anything?
Oh, I got a demo.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Demo Derby!
So, Balan Wonderworld, which I have said wrong every single time I wrote this and practiced it, because I kept saying Balan Wonderland, and it's not Wonderland, it is Wonderworld. Far more in-depth than that Alice place. Anyway, Balan Wonderworld is what you get if you take the game style of Nights into Dreams from Sega and then fuse the art style of Sonic the Hedgehog and Super Mario Odyssey with the platforming of Crash Bandicoot. I have no idea, by the way, what this game is about.
Yeah.
It begins by choosing one of two characters, Leo or Emma, and then watching a really long cutscene. that we don't know what's going on. People talking, you know, whispering back and forth. The characters exit the house. And then we get the opening credits scene that has them, you know, wandering the city without saying anything while, like, soft piano music plays. It's riveting. Now, that being said, it's beautiful, but it's not actually riveting. And they find at the end of the opening credits, a building that advertises Balin Wonderworld. And going in, they find the eponymous Balin, which means that we get a music video that is so reminiscent of Friend Like Me that I could not actually separate the two in my head. The kids are then whisked away to the island of Tims because what makes a great game? Kidnapping. You've got two doors available to you. You go through one and you begin Chapter 1, Act 1. The Man Who Rages Against the Storm. No joke, that's what the Chapter 1 is called. There is a giant scary farmer. There is oversized ears of corn, and there's a lot of stuff. But it's where, after, you know, 5 or so minutes of actually playing the game, that we're finally allowed to play the game. And it's competent. It's a good 3D platformer. We're given a few levels in a boss fight. My spouse and I pass the controller through, though from what I understand, there's actually a couch co-op. We just didn't play it. Now, for those who find controls to games difficult, this demo should allay all your fears, because you need three. You need to be able to move your character using the stick. You need to be able to change costumes, which is like the central mechanic of the game, using R1. If you're fancy, you can also use L1. And then any other button on the controller to do a thing. That's it. To start the game, you can jump. Any button you push, you're going to jump. Once you find costumes, and there's like 80 of them in the game, the jump button becomes the do-a-thing button. So like the wolf button lets you do a spin jump, like Crash Bandicoot. There are jewels to find, statues to collect, mini-games that feel shoehorned in, no story at all to speak of, and ultimately, like other confusing games, you're just trying to find a missing piece of heart. You are somewhat heartless. That being said, it's actually a good demo. It's colorful, it's bright, it's well, you know, the controls work the way they're supposed to. The tutorial was short, the exploration was fun. It has this kind of cool nostalgia factor, almost like getting to replay Super Mario 3D, or Super Mario 64, you know, that first time where you're just like, wow, what am I going to find? Blah, blah, blah. Except it's not that. So you get to actually explore and discover things. This is a definitely pick up the demo. Pick up the demo. Maybe even the game on March 26th, but definitely the demo, because at the end of the day, the demo might be the most fun you have.
So. Okay.
All right. Cool. Well, I have a number of reviews, and some of these are going to be longer than others. Let's get started with Destruction All-Stars. This dropped at the beginning. We're taping this at the end of February, so this dropped at the beginning of February on PS5, and it was a PlayStation Plus release as well, so you could get the game for free as long as you're a PS Plus subscriber. Think... You guys are familiar with Rocket League, right?
Mm-hmm. Car soccer.
Yeah, it's like car soccer, yeah. It would take away the soccer and turn it into a stylish demolition derby.
Okay.
And make it only about half as fun.
You know, really, that's every single racing game I've ever played.
So this was one of Sony's big, like, exclusives for the PS5, and... You know, it's pretty. You play one of 16 drivers, and each car/driver has different abilities. There are times where if your car gets wrecked, you can get out of the car and try to, like, hijack someone else's vehicle, you know. But the long and short of it is car goes smashy, smashy, and you get points. It's multiplayer, it's online only, and it's about as shallow as I just described it as. Because while there are several modes, at the end of the day, it is essentially Cardo Smashy Smashy, just in different modes. There's Cardo Smashy Smashy into a pit. There's Cardo Smashy Smashy with the floor collapsing. And then there's just general Cardo Smashy Smashy. So, I was really excited for this when it was announced for the PS5, because I'm like, hey, I like Rocket League, but I'm terrible at it. All I do is end up driving into other people. This is a game where you drive into other people. This is for me. But it's more flash than substance. And it's a good thing it was free for PlayStation Plus members, because I would have been really mad if I spent money on this. So, in that case, don't be like me, if you can keep from it. We have Bowser's Fury, which was a tie-in to Super Mario 3D World, and in fact, we did a special Retromantics on that. You can find that on our YouTube channel, one of our two YouTube shows. We'll tell you about that a little bit later on. Bowser's Fury is a 3 to 6 hour game that is kind of added on to Super Mario 3D World on the Switch. Mario is abducted? Question mark. Into this area where Bowser Jr. reveals to him that, like, I nabbed you because my dad is out of control with rage. He's the size of, like, three Godzillas now. And you're the only one who's ever been able to beat him, so I need your help to turn him back to normal. That kind of thing. It's for one or two players, and it feels like they took the ideas from Super Mario Odyssey as far as, like, the open world concept and the fine stars wherever, and put it into the 3D World engine, because that's the kind of visuals that you get. It's still a beautiful game. One of the interesting mechanics is, you know, Bowser's freaking ginormous now. And at periods, while you're just doing platform and stuff, Bowser's Fury kicks in. This hurricane kind of effect just hits the area, and you start having to avoid falling blasts of lava, that kind of thing, and you basically have to survive until Bowser's Fury subsides, and then you can go about your business once again. Eventually, you collect enough MacGuffins, they're called cat shines in this case, to turn into, and I'm not joking, a Super Saiyan giant cat. Because that's how you fight Bowser. Super Saiyan giant cat. And I'm not complete with the waving blonde hair and everything, in addition to the cat suit. It's just added on.
Okay.
And those fights are, for the most part, fun. Toward the end, you will experience, if you're anything like me, a wave of frustration, the likes of which only Mario can bring. Because when you get toward the end, Bowser's rages that I told you about, those furies that come and go, this one doesn't go. You have, like, 10 shines left to collect. That fury is now perpetual. You're just going to have to deal with it and avoid his constant lava blasts and stuff until you find all of the shines that you need. So that last 30 to 45 minutes is a bit frustrating. The last boss fight is a bit frustrating. But at the end of the day, you know, it's decent. And it works for multiplayer in that one of you controls Mario, the other controls Bowser Jr., who's in this little hover around whatever the hell, the little putt-putt thing that Bowser had in Super Mario World. And Bowser Jr.'s sole purpose is to annoy the crap out of enemies and distract them, or collect things that Mario can't reach. But yeah, I mean, as an addition to Super Mario 3D World, it's pretty good. And it's kind of a hint, I would think, at where we can expect Mario games to go, since it's another one of those open world concepts, and there's no stages per se. It's a lot like Odyssey in that you collect the thing and then you immediately just move on to the next thing. You don't have to, like, get kicked back out to a map or whatever. The game just continues at its own pace. So Bowser's Fury, pretty good.
Cool.
All right. Ease 9, or Wise 9, or however you want to pronounce it, because I've heard it both ways. This hit the PC and the PS4/PS5 overseas a while ago. September 2019, finally landed in North America earlier this year. And Chad can speak to this as well. I'm a huge EES fan. I love the franchise. It's not what I would say the deepest thing in the world, but it's fun and simplistic, and the gameplay is essentially, you know, hacky slashy with magic. And I'm not going to spoil anything other than just a brief synopsis, which is your character, Adel Kristen, arrives at a city that is best known for one thing only, and that is having a big-ass prison in the center of it. And Adel is arrested for a crime he did not commit, on top of the crimes he may have committed.
Hold on. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Darren. Are you saying it does not begin with a shipwreck?
No, not this time.
Is this even an EES game?
It is an EES game, yes.
Because that's like the flow through. Like,
I know.
There's always a boat wreck.
But this game does reference back to EES 8 and memories of Calcetta and a couple of others. So like, it made sure that you know there's some continuity here.
All right.
But Adel is put in prison for a crime he probably didn't commit that he knows of. And eventually you orchestrate a small jailbreak, and Adel is confronted by this weird chick in this black robe, and she's got like one wing and a cybernetic arm, and just trust me, it's cooler than I'm making it sound. And she shoots him, and that turns him into a monstrum. Or for those of you who prefer Marvel analogies, a mutant. So he has cool abilities, and now he can fight monsters with abilities that include short-range teleportation and flight and running up walls and all that stuff, and it's awesome. And then the story, just because this is a game that was heavily rooted in Japanese anime type of storytelling, it goes all over the place. And I'm not going to spoil anything, because honestly, you wouldn't believe me if I told you. Just try it. I guarantee that if you like any of the other games in the franchise, you'll like this one. It's easily been one of the biggest time sinks of my life in the past month. Highly recommended.
Can you change the controls?
Yes.
Awesome. Yeah. I'll be happy to play it for about 60 hours and almost finish it.
Yeah, I didn't mess with the controls too much, but I do know that you can. There was one point where I noticed that the right stick was inverted, so I swapped that out. So yeah, you can do that. All right. If there's no further business,
I don't think I have anything. I mean, no. We could talk about trailers and so forth, but...
Yeah, well, we can real quick just mention that if anyone is interested, we did cover the State of Play and Nintendo Directs that happened earlier this month. You can find all those at DeepCaveTLDR on our podcast feeds. And by the way, that's usually where you can find a lot of our news now, is DeepCaveTLDR, or... go to our website, geekcavepodcast.com.
Kent!
Hold on, Kent.
Okay.
At one point a while back, you did ask the audience members if they wanted to submit questions to Ask Justin. That is still a thing. If you really want to do that, if there's something you want me to answer, as only I can with my, you know, amazing video game knowledge...
Well, it's not just video game knowledge. It's really your insight into the human experience.
Yes.
Well, thank you. Feel free to tweet at us using the hashtag AskJustin. All right. Kent?
It was created by a madman. Ignored and rejected. Every week it grows. We cannot kill it, for it does not live. Step fast and be wary, or you may fall victim to Darren's Pile of Shame.
Okay, so, boy, this is a tough one, guys, because have you ever encountered a piece of media that you desperately want to enjoy?
Yes, and the Geek Cave podcast.
Yeah.
And you...
You desperately want to enjoy, and you kind of do. Like, you enjoy it while you're consuming it, but as soon as you're done, you're like, why did I do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so Trials of Mana is the Nachos Bel Grande of video games. In that, you know, it looks pleasant to the eye while you're experiencing it. It's pretty good. And then afterwards you ask yourself, why did I do that with my time? Okay. This is the third in the Mana series that dates all the way back to the Super Nintendo. I played the remastered re-release that came out on modern consoles. And by modern, I mean PS4 and Switch. Sorry, Xbox fans, you don't get RPGs. And it's an action RPG where combat takes place in real time. You play as one of six characters. And this is an interesting hook. You have six main characters. Each one has their own unique story, so you can choose between any of them. I chose Duran, who's a swordsman with huge, just like a lion's mane type of haircut. The other characters you don't choose, you can pick from two of them. They become your main side party members, and you still get at least a little bit of their stories. And the other characters become NPCs you just kind of encounter as you play the game. And primarily combat is sword fighting or bashing with a stick or whatever, and you have magic as well, and it's... The combat is fine. It's fun, it's enjoyable enough to get into, but it can get so repetitive at times where I wanted to get... There's this one area where I was trying to get through this cavern to find a mana stone, and I'll get to those in a minute. And the combat was so repetitive and so frequent that I wanted to get one of those drinking birds, you know, that kind of like bob up and down. And I just wanted to set my controller down and have the drinking bird hit the Y button over and over again. The long and short of the story is it takes place in a world where this this stuff called mana is an ethereal but finite energy source. Sometime in the past, the mana goddess created the world by forging a sword made out of mana and defeating eight monsters of destruction called Benevedons, or god beasts. And then she turned herself into a tree and took a nap, like one does.
Yeah.
Years pass. Other games in this franchise also look at the Sword of Mana, but in this particular one, you need to get a hold of it to keep the Benevedons from waking up and revive the land, and yada-da-da-da-da-da, and hijinks ensue, and betrayal. But let me tell you about the weird shit, because that's what you're here for. There is a giant turtle duck thing with swim goggles and a flag sticking out of his shell. That's your fast travel. That guy. See, most RPGs have like an airship or something whenever it's time to travel the world. Nope. Giant duck turtle thing with his own jovial music, and he can move. That guy is fast. Jeez, faster than he looks. You summon him with a flute, and he shows up, and he just looks super freaking happy, and then, come on, friends, hop on my back. Let's go. And, yeah. Character designs are fun. They're very, very anime. There's a sorceress who, she's wearing a one piece with tails, like, you know, the whole like tuxedo tails thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Take the tails, attach them to a one piece, turn it all red. There you go.
Okay.
And she's also from the coldest freaking region in the world, and this is just normal to her. This is what you wear. So, yeah. There's another character. The voice acting by this By the way, the voice acting is very hit or miss, and it's very suspect in one character named Charlotte, and I know everyone who's played this game knows what I'm going to talk about. She is a 16-year-old in the body of a 5-year-old, and she speaks like Elmer Fudd.
Nothing I say here would land us in legal trouble, would it?
No, probably not.
Okay, well, just to be on the safe side, I'm going to just be quiet.
Yeah, that's fine. She's fine because she's a good magic user, but the downside is if you have her as one of your three party members, you are going to want to throw her off of a bridge or a bwidge pretty fast. Yeah.
I didn't want to laugh at that.
Oh, feel free. Feel free to waff because Shawit is the worst.
Oh, Darren, hold on. The legal has just handed me this. We at the Geek Cave Podcast and its associates do not condone the making fun of those with speech impediments.
That's fair. I will take my censure and sanction like a man, but Charlotte is still the worst.
The character can be the worst, but not because of her speech impediment.
Oh, no. They lean heavy into this.
I'm sure they do. Yeah.
All right. She's also the worst for more than one reason. And, you know, and it's all of it, except for Charlotte, is charming and whimsical, but it also falls just on the side of annoying. For example, the soundtrack is great, and I hope you enjoy it because it's the same 6 songs over and over again.
Hmm.
There's a song for a village. There's a snappier song for when you're exploring the jungle or the desert. Or the frozen tundra. There's a song for dungeons. There's a song for conversations. There's a song for fast travel on your giant turtle duck buddy, whose name I can never be bothered to remember, so he is Steve. And there's the kick-ass intro music on the title screen. And that's it. That's all you get. You better enjoy it. And I get it. This is a remake of a Super Nintendo game, but I'm pretty sure that Final Fantasy's 2 and 3, or 4 and 6, if you're actually keeping count, were also SNES games. And they had more than 6 musical pieces. In fact, most Super Nintendo games had more than 6 musical pieces. So the fact that Trials of Mana decides to beat you over the head with this repetitive music over and over again, you get into stage 3 of your Nachos Bel Grande experience, deep regret, and a little bit of resentment.
That's the grande part.
So it's an unfortunate dichotomy because on one hand, I could say if you want something fun to do where you don't have to think and you really, I mean, the story is just kind of nonsensical, by all means, try the game. But if you want something with deeper substance and something that is a little bit more satisfying and something you don't have to make yourself start before you enjoy it, you might want to look elsewhere. So,
oof.
Sorry, fans. I did my best. Hawkeye is the best character, by the way. And I'm not talking about the Avengers. There's a thief named Hawkeye.
You can be talking about the Avengers, too.
I wanted to give him a shout-out because he's a member of a guild of noble thieves, and his storyline is pretty awesome. So, Hawkeye is the best. Hawkeye number one. But everything else is, well, yeah. On a scale of 1 to 5 magic rocks. Oh, I forgot about the mana stones. Real quick. They're magical stones. I don't know what else to say about them. Because they're central to the plot, so you can unlock the sword of mana, but at the end of the day, they're shiny rocks, and they'll allow you to change character classes somewhat, so there's a little bit of character building there, but it's not worth the journey. I give it 3 walks out of 5. It's just kind of average. Sorry.
All right.
So, not sorry about Charlotte, though. I hate that. Hate that kid. That should be on a Geek Cave t-shirt. Just, I hate that kid. No context. Just.
It's only available in child sizes.
Oh. Well, while I go have my meeting with legal, We want to thank our sponsors again. Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from the past so you can look rad today. And Gamefly, video games delivered. Don't forget about our other less offensive podcasts, You Want Me to Watch What? And Geek Cave TLDR. And of course, you can watch Modern Couples Therapy at its finest in Retromantics on YouTube, as well as Geek Cave Plays. Usually, whatever we're playing for the Pile of Shame review will show up during the month prior on Geek Cave Plays, and there are two Pile of Shame reviews planned for the next episode, so might want to follow us on Twitch and like our YouTube channel. Subscribe. Get those notifications, whatever.
Buckle in, folks.
Buckle in. Oh, yes. Especially, I'll go ahead and tell you one of them. Bulletstorm.
Oh, dear God.
Bulletstorm with the Duke Nukem DLC.
Oh.
Buckle in. And remember, everyone's a geek for something.